And now for some artery cultural coverage that's jazzy. 2 years ago, the White House kicked off its music series called The Jazz Studio. First Lady Michelle Obama introduced the first of that series in this way.
The understanding and appreciation of jazz is integral to understanding and appreciating American history and culture. It's an outstanding artistic model of individual expression and democratic expression as well. And there's probably no better example of democracy than a jazz ensemble.
Well, Dr. Wes Watkins IV agrees with that. In fact, he's built his whole life's work around that idea. Dr. Watkins is the founder of the Bay Area-based Jazz and Democracy Project. He devised a curriculum that teaches school children lessons in jazz alongside American history and the democratic process. He came by KALW Studios to talk about how kids are learning about democracy through jazz. So teaching democracy through jazz, what does that mean? How do you do that? And what's the link between the two?
So there's a number of links between the two, actually. The one that I think is most important is that both jazz and democracy are in process. So what that means on the jazz side, as most people know, is that jazz is an improvised music. So musicians are on stage, supposedly, if they're good at their craft, creating any particular song anew every single night. Right. So that means, you know, we're not going to just come up with the score or the composition as written by the composer and execute it. We're actually going to create it right now. It may be faster or slower in terms of tempo. You know, after the bridge, the dynamics may change compared to how we played it yesterday or how we will play it tomorrow. So that it's this dynamic process. And it's important for kids to know that democracy is the same way, that even though they memorize maybe who the founding fathers were and all the presidents and what year was the War of 1812, you know, and all that type of stuff. But to know that when they penned the Constitution, it wasn't finished. It wasn't over. Right. So then I'll take kids directly into the Constitution and say, look at this Article 5. It tells us that we can amend it, we can change it, like, you know, that the founding fathers allow for some flexibility in the future. So we can make democracy whatever we need it to be today. Just like, you know, a jazz musician may play Summertime however they need it to sound tonight. I think school gives kids the idea that life is going to be like school. And for the most part, the kids I teach, school is, do I have the right answer or not? Right? I'm used to taking tests. I'm used to being maybe some answers in the back of the book. I'm used to raising my hand and guessing and having a teacher tell me, am I right or not? When in fact, as I tell my students, most often in life, when you get out of, whether you start working right out of high school or college or even after you finish a master's or a doctorate, people are going to hand you problems, right? They're going to give you circumstances that are difficult, and you have to know how to figure out a solution. There's no more, is this right? It's make it work, right? So life is actually much closer to improvisation than I think we let students believe. So jazz is this incredible art form where I get to express to the fullest extent who I am as a person. And somehow the great ones are able to do that without getting in the way of your expression of the same. And so if I can get you to think about your life and a member of this democratic society as who is your highest self, and can you get that done without stepping on other people's toes, right? And then I'll put on a piece of music where the musicians do that. And hopefully, if they're thinking about it through this art form, it's giving them a more profound or just a different avenue to think about what life could feel like. It's almost cliche to talk about the Miles Davis kind of blues recording, but that's only because it's that good. You know, I mean, it's some things are cliche because they're just that true, and Kind of Blue album is just that good. Take any of the more or less up-tempo tracks. There's nothing on that album is really burning in terms of tempo. I think Freddie Freeload is probably the fastest tempo on the album. But if you look at the contrast in styles, right? So you got Miles Davis, who was known to do a lot with very few notes. Immediately, Coltrane comes on and plays more notes in the first chorus than Miles Davis played in his entire solo. Probably in the first, you know, eight bars. Followed by, after Coltrane, you've got the super bluesy, completely different, like exactly the same and totally different rhythmic sensibility in Cannonball Adderley in what he plays in his solo. And so you look at how those individuals were allowed to be themselves, but when collected, they made a masterwork. I mean, Kind of Blue is a masterwork for all time. Me and my buddy in high school listened to it every single day for like 2 weeks, like it was the hottest song that just came out, you know, or the hottest album that had just hit, you know, MTV or something at the time. I can tell you from teaching in class, when I get kids to understand what improvisation means, a lot of their eyes light up, because it's actually quite an innovation for them to think about. You know, as opposed to when you're in school band in fourth grade and you just started violin and you got the concert in the spring and your parents are going to be there and you're on stage in the auditorium and you memorized exactly what you're going to play. Well, imagine all your parents were going to be there and you didn't memorize what to play, but you're still going to be on stage creating music in front of people and all of you wanted to sound good, but all you have is the most basic structure of the song form, chord changes, harmonies, tempo, maybe rhythm, right?
And that's it.
And that's it. Now make some music beautiful. And they're like, hold on a second. That video you just showed us with him playing that piano solo, he just made that up? Yes, he just made that up. They're like, whoa. Like, yeah, whoa.
And now they're fascinated.
Hopefully, yeah. In that moment, most of them are. The issue is, can I hold on to that for the rest of the 12 lessons?
So you go from you know, the fifth graders to the middle schoolers to the high school students.
Yeah.
Which group of students do you feel absorb what you say to them and really take it to heart?
It's not something that I can necessarily attribute to age. I've had a lot of people ask me that question. I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm better at teaching the younger kids. And I don't know why that is, because I actually, it's funny. I feel like high school kids, I can have a totally different conversation with them, right? If I'm talking to a class of 11th graders, they're like 16 years old. They're actually going to vote in a couple of years. They've got opinions about propositions that were just voted on by us adults last November, you know, whatever. So there's a different level of understanding their place in the world. And I've had some great conversations and classes with high school students because they're just at a higher developmental level. But I find that my fifth grade students, and sometimes I'll get fourth graders thrown in if I'm in an after school program, their minds are sometimes a little more elastic, and that whoa factor is easier to come by, right? Just because they're younger. And, you know, because like as kids get older, it's kind of like the cool quotient has to rise, you know, proportionally. Like, you know, you're uncool until proven otherwise, right? When I walk in the room. So, but the younger kids are like, oh, okay, this sounds cool, you know, let's do it. But so like, for example, I've had fifth graders say some amazing things. I asked a group of kids one day, we had previously learned a definition for swing as not, you know, not just the era, not just the type of rhythm and that thing that musicians strive for when they say the music is really swinging. But we learned it as, in order for that moment to occur, you have to be listening and responding to your fellow bandmates with each passing nanosecond. Like at the first split second that your mind wanders, the swing will almost necessarily fall apart because it requires a certain type of equilibrium and balance and connection between the musicians for that music to really take off, right?
Presence.
Yeah, presence, exactly. So I asked kids, I was like, so what would an example of swing look like in society? Or if we were always swinging, what's some things that we would see or not see happen? And I had a fifth grade student say, oh, there would be no traffic accidents. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, if swing means, you know, like we're in this constant coordination with each other, well, then I wouldn't run into you because I would know intuitively, psychically, whatever, that you were going to go and so I should wait, or that I'm going to go and you should wait. Like we would be in sync with one another in a certain way that we would never have a traffic accident. I was like, wow. Thank you.